All right, everyone, welcome in to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. I am Davis Maddock. I am joined by Rich Rebar on our final Friday discussion of the year. We got one game left. Reeves, I have not gotten a game wrong in the playoffs yet. We are riding into, I think, the only game that we talked about either side that anyone has got wrong on this program in the playoffs was Packers Cowboys. I think that's the only spot that collectively as a group we have missed here. So it's been a nice little 4 week period. It's been a very good NFL playoffs, in my opinion. I think we've gotten a bunch of good games.
Yeah, I was openly rooting for the Ravens to win 2 weeks ago against the Chiefs, but you know, definitely acknowledged that the Chiefs were still alive. Ravens, you know, came out in just second half of that game, could not get the ball into the end zone. They had a couple, you know, obviously Zay Flowers, poor Zay Flowers, you know, all in his emotions the entire drive.
You know, that's so funny because obviously the discourse now, I mean, you know this as well as anyone. Lamar can't get it done.
No, yeah.
He can't win the big game.
That's why I wanted him to win, man.
So first off, obviously, if Zay Flowers just doesn't pull a Mecole Hardman, I mean that's a 10-point swing. You know, he loses the touchdown and Kansas City goes down and gets a field goal on that drive. That's a huge swing. That was the biggest EPA play of the game, either way, negative or positive, you know, biggest swing on one play of the entire game. And Tej Seth from Sumer Sports, I think, made this point the other day, or maybe it was Cowboy Stats. One of these two guys made this point that Lamar right now is living the existence of Peyton Manning, where he's winning all of the regular season accolades. He puts up the crazy fantasy numbers. No one serious, you know, no serious football person is saying, oh yeah, Lamar, he stinks, he can't get it done or whatever. But because of the presence of another all-time Pantheon great in his conference, and because of some bad injury luck, he has not summited the mountain, which obviously I can't think of two guys who are stylistically much different than Lamar Jackson and Peyton Manning, but they are kind of living those simultaneous experiences right now.
Yeah, and I know that there's some people that are kind of upset the Chiefs are in. You know,
see that kind yes. of feel. Yes, people are mad.
Like people have like big time Chiefs fatigue, and Mahomes last year when he won MVP like was totally deserving, like was good. This Chiefs team is like a total different iteration, and you know Mahomes is still kind of Mahomes from a talent level, but even that second half of that Ravens game, like. You still see, like, we're not seeing the switch getting flipped, like, back to old-style Chiefs. And, like, that's still something that they're going to give up explosives in this game. Are they going to be able to get enough explosives? Because the Ravens were getting explosives in the second half of that game and kind of shot themselves in the foot multiple times and like, kind of gotten their own way in the effort of their comebacks. But you've seen it again in the second half of that game, and the Chiefs could not move the football. And something is, and this is an ongoing problem the entire year. I mean, it's been going on the
whole
entire
year since week one.
So the second half, so in the playoffs, they've only scored a touchdown on 3 of 15 second half possessions. And yep. during the regular season, they were 30th in touchdown rate per drive in the second half of games, 30th in the NFL. In the postseason, they're only averaging 4.9 yards per play in the second half, 6.1 yards per play in the first half. In the regular season, they were averaging 6.3 yards per play in the first half, and they dropped down to 25th in the league at 4.8 yards per play in the second half. This is something that's been going on. Like, it used to be the old Chiefs, where if the Chiefs got down like 7, you'd be like, oh shit, let me check out the money line. It's time to hit old Pat the Chiefs in the money line. But this year, they only won 3 games where they were trailing by more than 7 points. 7 points or more outside the first quarter. And 2 of those games, they beat Jake Browning and Aiden O'Connell. Like, this is not like this team doesn't have the ability when they're in a hole to like score fast or like generate big plays. And only the Panthers average fewer yards per touchdown on their touchdown plays than the Chiefs did this year. Like they have to manipulate drives and score on like long sustained drives. And that's still something that hasn't caught up to them. Will it catch up to them here? The 49ers definitely can't play like the way they did the first 2 games of the postseason and just expect the Chiefs to beat themselves like the Packers and Lions kind of did to help right. them out. So, I mean, it's a weird dynamic here, but definitely this Chiefs, like this isn't like an old school Chiefs team. Like this team is predicated on like ball control and defense for like the first time in Mahomes' career.
Yes. So, that is, I mean, obviously that's the weirdest thing coming into this game is that the Chiefs have the defensive advantage And any way you slice it, if you were looking at numbers, any number, I mean, from a number that you could get Kyle Slaughter to accept to a PFF number, the 49ers have the offensive advantage. I mean, they have more explosive plays, way better yards per play. I believe Purdy just had the single greatest adjusted yards per attempt season of all time. I believe I'm gonna go look that up when I toss it back over to you, but I'm pretty sure that is true. The 49ers clearly have the better offensive players. Debo Samuel would be Tyreek-esque. Debo Samuel on the Chiefs might break, like, he might score like 27 points per game in fantasy football. I just can't even really imagine. And Debo Samuel weirdly is like the Andy Reid player of all time. He's like the final evolution of these players that Andy Reid has had his entire career, these kind of wide receivers who can't run routes but are good with the ball in their hands. But like Debo obviously is this great route runner, and I'd love to see him on the Chiefs. Ayuk would be the best player on the Chiefs. George Kittle probably at this age is probably even better than Travis Kelce. Obviously, McCaffrey is, you know, we argue so much about, oh, running backs, do they matter? Like, blah, blah, blah. Like in a single game, McCaffrey versus any other running back, like that is going, he is going to be more efficient and generate more expected points than any other available running back. And I say all these, and obviously this is like, you turn on ESPN, Fox Sports, whatever, mainstream, whatever. Every person you know has said the same thing. The 49ers are the better team, but the Chiefs have the head coaching and the quarterback advantage. They have the best player and they have the better coach. And that, I think, honestly, at the end of the day, Reeves, you and I, what have we been doing this show? 4 years, 5 years, something like that? We've been doing it a while. And the overarching principle of this program has been we take the best quarterback. And I mean, obviously there's a lot more to talk about, but I want the Chiefs to win. That's a big part of it. But for example, last year, the Eagles game, I felt far less confident about taking the Chiefs. I actually thought Jalen could pretty much play Pat to a draw, which is funny considering how poorly the Eagles ended the season this year. But it is kind of funny how that how good the Eagles were in 2022-23 has been memory wiped.
Hurts was great in the Super Bowl. Like,
he was awesome.
He was the best player in that game.
He made it, and really it was he made one mistake, and it wasn't even really a mistake. It just was bad luck. You know, the strip sack, like it just
fumbled,
was
that kind of set up the whole, like, just kept the Chiefs in it.
Yeah. I mean, that was really the only thing that happened. And then the Buccaneers Super Bowl, I was like, I did not want to pick the Chiefs. The vibes for the Chiefs in the Buccaneers Super Bowl was like at an all-time low. Like more than half the offensive line was out. Andy Reid's son had just killed somebody and was in jail.
Brady, like, it was playing at a home game, like
literal home game. Like, the vibes could not have been worse in that spot. I don't even really remember. I probably did bet on the Chiefs in that game, not with any great sense of conviction. I
will say the Mahomes in that Buccaneers Super Bowl played the best game I've ever seen a quarterback play. That scored,
he was
nine
unreal.
Points.
Yeah.
He threw a ball literally like perpendicular, like 1 inch off the ground.
Yeah, Daryl Williams. It was in his hands. It was in his
head.
And it was
in the head.
It was going into half. That act, it could have been competitive had Daryl Williams caught that.
Tyreek, like, dropped a touchdown that Mahomes made on like a stupid play too. Like, Mahomes was like, he was running for his life literally that entire game. And that's the thing, like his sack avoidance is so amazing. We're gonna get into some Mahomes numbers here that are kind of scary, but like his sack avoidance is still like, you cannot get this dude on the ground. Like, what a demon.
I mean, he's probably the best ever at sack avoidance given the volume of his dropbacks.
Especially because he does it different than Brady, because like Brady always had really good sack avoidance numbers, even at the end. Yes, he would, and he, because his thing, especially the last 2 years in Tampa, when Tampa had that, when their offensive line fell apart after the Super Bowl, like,
yeah,
he literally would just get the ball and it would be out of his hands. He just was like, fuck this.
Yeah. Well, and Peyton, you know what? Peyton would do that too. I mean, how many times did Peyton just turf it, throw it at Donald Brown's feet? You know, I mean, I feel like that's almost the defining play that I remember of Peyton Manning. Well, Brady and Manning were both so good at that. And obviously, you know, Manning and Brady would always get, they would always get that friendly whistle, you know, of the, you know, maybe if Derek Carr does that, it's an intentional grounding, but you're not calling intentional grounding on Tom Brady. You know, it's not
grounding.
The way it works.
Also, I think in the NFL, this is another, like, this is probably just the old man yells at clouds thing, but like intentional grounding, I feel like in the NFL has totally jumped the shark from like what, like probably the original rule was intended. Like every game, like even my son is just like, that has to be intentional grounding. I'm like, I guess it's not. Like,
well, sure, because obviously what has happened, and this is just game theory, right? Any game you've ever played, like board game, video game, whatever, yes, is that if there is any kind of edge to be exploited inside of a rule set, it is your imperative to do it. So there is no incentive for Mahomes to actually try and hit Marquez Valdes-Scantling in the hands when he's about to get sacked. He just needs to get it above his head and out where a defender cannot come down with it, which is intentional grounding in the sense that he is trying to ground the ball and have the result of the play be an incomplete pass. But the way that it's legislated, it's not intentional grounding.
Yeah. That's another thing. Maybe we'll talk about NFL rules on another show, because I still can't believe we have 70-year-old men eyeball spotting the football still when there's chips in every single player and, you know, on the field, and we know exactly we can get this.
There's a chip in the ball.
Yeah,
there's a chip in the ball.
And we have literally 70-year-old men eyeballing stuff. I can't remember a postseason where there'd be a spot of football. I'm like, man, that dude spotted that thing 2 yards off, or like a yard and a half off, or like a half yard off. I'm like, how are we still doing this? How is this still the way?
Yeah, it is. It is insane. Yeah. So I'm taking the Chiefs. I'm definitely leaning under on this total. I think if it goes over, I think that means the 49ers win. You know, it just sort of feel that way. Probably means that because the 49ers are going to have such an edge on the explosive plays. Like, who scores a 60-yard touchdown for the Chiefs? I mean, is that even possible? Like, I guess maybe Hardman could do it, or maybe they score a punt return or something, but it just...
And last year, that was the big thing. Remember, Tony had the big punt return.
Well, I know, because I had Tony at 100-1 to win Super Bowl MVP, and if he would have scored that... the first ever punt return touchdown in the history of the Super Bowl and the 4-yard receiving touchdown. I mean, he does win Super Bowl MVP.
He probably does, because Mahomes kind of last year, and I'm not saying Mahomes wasn't deserving of it, but it was kind of just like we have to give it to the winning quarterback. The Chiefs really didn't have anyone.
The same thing as the first time they won the Super Bowl. Damian Williams should have won it, but the voters are just like, Damian Williams, who cares? You know, whatever. We're giving it to Pat. I mean, Pat was good in that first Super Bowl, but he was fine.
Yeah, he was more or less fine. He threw two picks, but I mean, that's what you'll have. Yeah, I mean, I hate to distill, like, you know, the whole, like, you know, because I wrote this game up in like massive detail, like the most detail. Sure. I've done a worksheet all year, right? Like, you know, you get everything you want if you go check that out.
And then have to say, but.
Yeah, I hate to distill, like the game is still comes down to like Brock Purdy has to play at least a B-plus game, right? Like, the Chiefs can win this game with a B Patrick Mahomes game, because they've been doing it all damn year, right? Like, that's their defense has been that good. We've seen the 49ers now. Brock Purdy in particular, like, when they have had to face, like, better opponents, like, during the course of the season, which was very finite, like, they did not play a lot of really good teams over the course of the season. And we haven't seen, like, Brock Purdy really punch up against a really good defense yet in his early career. And that's still just me a question that's going to come up time again until he finally does, right? Like, here we are again. We're at another fulcrum point. Like, can Brock Purdy punch up in this game? In the playoffs, the 49ers, I mean, so in the regular season, they led the NFL in yards per play on first down, 7 yards per play. They've been ninth in the NFL in yards per play on first downs.
Yeah, that's not happening in this game.
Yeah, so what's been able to bail them out, though? So in the regular season, a league low 36% of 49ers set of downs. Like, each time they got a first down, only 36% of those, they got the third down. It was the lowest rate in the NFL. In the postseason, that's 50%. It's the highest rate of any team that's played multiple games this postseason. They've gotten out of a hole because they've actually converted 57% of their third downs this postseason. The Chiefs are number one in the NFL in yards per play on third downs. They were number one in the regular season. They've only allowed 2.9 yards per play on third down in 3 postseason games against Lamar Jackson, against Josh Allen, and against the Miami Dolphins. Teams 11 of 37 on third downs these playoffs, 3 of 20 on third downs, needing 5 or more yards in the playoffs. So, like, the 49ers are going to have to be better than they were. And then you talk about too, like we talked about a little bit last week with the Lions. We talked about the Lions being able to cover and potentially be able to win that game. I'm sorry, 2 weeks ago. And we had talked about all the three good defenses on paper that were remaining, the Chiefs, the Ravens, and the 49ers. The 49ers were the one that like we felt like the sketchiest about. I was like, this team's had a few lapses. Like they're not like the elite defense they were in 2019 when these teams played. Like they will give up some yardage, and they did again to the Lions. They have exploitable edges to kind of find in this game. And what's interesting is I think both teams should break tendency, and I have more faith in Steve Spagnuolo doing it than I do Steve Wilks. The 49ers are a passive defense. They don't blitz. They've only blitzed on 7% of dropbacks in the postseason. They were 25th in the NFL in blitz rate during the regular season. But they need to blitz Patrick Mahomes. The Ravens only blitzed Patrick Mahomes in the first half of that game. The Chiefs looked awesome in the first half. They were carving the Ravens. You're just like, damn, they are just moving the ball up and down the field on this defense we thought was like really good. And then Mike McDonald said, you know what, screw it. Like, we're going to blitz your face off in the second half. And you know what? And the Chiefs couldn't move the football. They blitzed Patrick Mahomes on 40% of his dropbacks in the second half of that game. It was just 15% in the first half. And Patrick Mahomes, for the course of the season, when pressured against the blitz, only Zach Wilson has a worse quarterback rating than Patrick Mahomes. Like, absolutely, like, bonkers to be in, like, the same category as him. And it's, you know why? And they're, because the Chiefs have nobody that can win quickly on their own. Rashee Rice right now, who has been able, they've elevated into being, like, a guy that has to get 25% of the team targets, has just a low ADOT guy. He's the guy you talked about. They've made Rashee Rice their, like, low ADOT guy. Like, get us a bunch of yak. But, like, he's not winning, like, in a route on his own, right? Like, when the,
no.
Like, and Kelce, as good as he's even been this postseason, like, he still really isn't winning that way either anymore. And we saw in the second half of that Ravens game, like, a lot of his stuff still has to be schemed, like pre-snap motion, and get him in favorable spots. But there's a reason Mahomes has been so bad against the blitz this year compared to his career, and it's because they don't have anyone that can win. They don't have anyone right. that wins one-on-one anymore in the context of the play, right? And is Steve Wilks going to, like, go against tendency? And inversely, the Chiefs, who are an aggressive defense and do blitz a lot, they should actually play passive. If you look at Brock Purdy, all of his mistakes, even this postseason where he's been, like, relatively shaky, he's absolutely decimated still man coverage, and he's still been really good against the blitz. Like, when you speed him, like, the 49ers are built, like, they're the opposite. They have all dudes that win one-on-one. Everyone on their team wins one-on-one. Ayuk, Kittle, Debo, Christian McCaffrey, if you want to blitz, like, all these guys win one-on-one. Brock Purdy threw 11 interceptions this season. Eight of those 11 came against zone coverage where the opponent did not blitz. They forced him to make these reads. Because he will throw you some 50-50 balls, man. Like, he'll try to make some throws he probably shouldn't make. And those turn into turnovers. So I wonder if Spags is going to maybe call off the dogs a little bit and make a more in-game adjustment. And that extends to the Andy Reid thing too. Like, if you're just going to check off boxes, I still give the full coaching staff edge to the 49ers. They have Kyle, who we know is going to get, we're all on a first name basis, me and Kyle.
Sure.
You know,
wait, you said you give the full coaching staff edge to the 49ers?
No, to the Chiefs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I have more faith in Steve Spagnuolo making adjustments. We've actually seen him in the, you know, obviously,
dude, he's been like the wizard of second half defensive adjustments. Yes. Where it's like, I mean, obviously I don't know that much about defensive football. I can't say exactly what it is, but I, as a fan of the team, I watch them give up these types of plays. And the Buffalo game is probably the best example, where like, they're just getting smoked. Kind of feels like Buffalo's getting whatever they want. And then the second half comes out and it's like a vice grip is locked on their offense. Like, they can't do anything. They can't, like, Spags has been so good at that in the second halves. Now, my thought would be, just based off of the differences between Purdy and Jimmy. Because if I'm thinking about the main differences between those two guys,
why they got rid of Lance.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think the primary difference has been, Purdy has been a willing, big difference, willing and capable thrower outside the hashes, you know, 15, 20 yards down the field, in a way that I don't really remember Jimmy ever doing that successfully for the 49ers, honestly. And then obviously he's more mobile. Like, Purdy is like a little bit more mobile, can get you some first downs here or there that Jimmy was never getting you. So I'm wondering, if one of the things that Spags might dial up, especially early on, like maybe first three drives, is actually trying to do what defenses have been doing to Mahomes, which is you don't blitz him, four-man rush, too high safety, and say you got to take it over the middle. And obviously that's more dangerous against the 49ers than the Bills or the Ravens or whoever, because
they're just going to run. If you give
because McCaffrey will just run.
This is what makes the 49ers such a great dynamic, right? Because if you do, they actually see two high safeties at one of the lowest rates in the NFL because of that, right? Like, because if they see two high safeties, they're just going to run. They're just going to run the ball. that's what they're going to do. That's what makes the damned if you do, damned if you don't thing with the 49ers. Like, do you press to sell out to stop McCaffrey and the run, and then kind of, like I said, play more man coverage? And they've got just guys that can win. Kittle, Debo, Ayuk. Yeah, easy game. But the Chiefs have been awesome defensively in the second half of the game. That's the reason why they've been able to get by being so bad and so anemic offensively in the second half of these games, is because the defense has been that good. And I just have more faith. Like I said, if I need a coach to like adjust, I just believe in Spags more than I do Steve Wilks, man. Like, on the defensive side, there's one thing though about this game I will say about the Chiefs defense that I keep coming back to, and I wrote this up a little bit. So the Chiefs, they played eight games this year against teams that are in the top 10 of scoring. Only one of those teams scored more points than they averaged during the regular season against the Chiefs. Everyone else, they just limited. Like, they faced the Dolphins. Dolphins scored 21 total points in two games against the Chiefs. They faced the Eagles. The Ravens scored 10 points. And maybe they should add more, but they ended up with 10. Like, absolutely massive difference, what they said. But the one team that actually had the Chiefs in a box, in a quandary the whole game, and scored more points than the average was the Green Bay Packers. And what do the Green Bay Packers have? You know, where does Matt LaFleur come from? He worked under Kyle Shanahan in Washington, Atlanta, and Houston. They conceptually do a lot of similar things. In that game, Spags did not do what we talked about. He actually blitzed at the highest rate they blitzed in every game outside of the Ravens game last week. The Ravens game was the highest they blitzed all season. The Jordan Love game, they blitzed 41% of the time. He got absolutely killed in that game against the blitz. Jordan Love was 12 of 16 against the blitz. And then they killed him in the play action pass in that game, which is, you know, you're going to get with the 49ers too. So like, that's the one game I keep coming back to. It's like the Chiefs defense, as good as they've been all year, it's like, all right, so does Kyle Shanahan find things that Matt LaFleur, you know, his old buddy that worked under him, like, exploited in that game? Or does Spags go back to that game and say, hey, we've got to calibrate, like, versus this? So that's what's really cool, is I go back to that Packers game for sure and see if that's the game that's kind of like the linchpin of, like, do the 49ers pull stuff from that game that can be exploited? Or is Steve Spagnuolo go back and look at that game and say, hey, they're going to try to conceptually do some of this stuff. We have to adjust and try to stop that.
What if I told you Jordan Love is better than Brock Purdy?
I think from a talent perspective, it's not. One was a first round. Maybe there's a reason. One was a first round pick, and one was the last pick of the draft. But I will say this is the reason why, though, Purdy is the best iteration of a player to be kind of in this offense. Because they got rid of Lance, because Lance could do all the off script stuff, but he couldn't play in script in this offense. He just had he didn't have it. He didn't have any of the in-script stuff that Kyle wants to run, like all the quick stuff. And like, Trey Lance didn't have that. Purdy actually is kind of the best of both worlds. He can run it to like a level of the Garoppolo's, right? He can. He's shown us. He can run that. And then he's good enough off-script that, since Robert Griffin's the only other quarterback he's had outside of Trey Lance that can win off-script as good as Purdy does. Like, when you think of like Matt Ryan and Jimmy, like, I mean, Purdy made three plays in that Lions game that are dead in any other quarterback that like Kyle's had with the 49ers, like are blown up, like absolutely dead. And Purdy made at least three plays, both Juszczyk catches, and then he had two scrambles. So I'll say four, that no other player, like Garoppolo's not making those plays. Like, they're dead. No. Those are dead plays. And Purdy made those plays.
You know, and I did want to talk about this, because I've been meaning to do this. Like, the whole idea that Purdy is this, like, you know, lucky to be here, Mason Rudolph ass quarterback. I even did a little Google dive on this yesterday. I mean, Purdy was a legit, you know, a great comp for Purdy is actually Spencer Rattler, who is about to be like a fourth round pick this year out of nowhere. Obviously never hyped to that degree because he was at Iowa State and not Oklahoma. But after his rookie year at Iowa, or rookie year, after his freshman year, he was like, you know, the 2019, 2020 offseason stuff was like, Purdy in the running for Heisman. Purdy and Rattler are battling for the Big 12. Because I like went back and Googled all these articles. Purdy was always a good quarterback. And I can't remember what I believe it was. I got to go back and look, but he had a really great coach when he was a freshman at Iowa State. So he had, well, maybe not. Matt Campbell. Never mind. All right, I made that shit up. I don't even know who the fuck that is. That was a total
I remember
false
watching
memory.
Purdy though in college, because you know, Iowa State had some, they had some good players on those teams. They had Breece Hall,
Xavier Hutchinson, Charlie Kolar. Yeah.
Yeah. Who was the receiver they had ahead of Hutchinson? Who did Hutchinson kind of replace?
Oh, he was David Montgomery was there. You remember a guy by the name of Hakeem Butler?
Yeah, that's who it was. It was Butler when Butler left us. So yeah.
That was his primary guy that he threw to when he was
a freshman.
People
forget, like, Purdy like ran a lot in college too. Like he was mobile.
Purdy had 100 rushing attempts his freshman season at Iowa State.
Because he can move a little bit. Like, it's interesting because he has kind of an aspect where he is like Tua and Goff, right? Where like he is in that sense where like he does get elevated by the scheme and surrounding players like Tua and Goff
yes,
do.
Totally.
But he can win off script more than those guys. So the Purdy discourse is fun because it's always on Twitter, that is, or in the public media, it's polar opposites, right? It's either the guys, you have one camp that's like Purdy's the next Tom Brady, and then you have the other camp that's like Purdy, all of this is just counterfeit. Like it's all smokers. When the truth lies, it's like Purdy is like a complete above average quarterback.
Like, totally. He's like, you know what he is? He's kind of like a mobile Kirk Cousins, but he, instead of going through the wilderness for his entire career, he just landed in like the nut spot for him immediately. Like immediately, you know, I would kind of compare it. And Kirk is not the same risk taker, obviously, that Purdy is.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if he was the, and then you have the other part of the discourse where it's like, if Purdy was actually like taken with a first round pick and like given all this, like these expectations, you know, it's almost like Purdy succeeding to this degree is like a middle finger to like scouts, right? Like in that
totally.
Camp, and that camp doesn't want to let that go. But like, who gives a shit? But like, I mean, really the Purdy discourse is definitely in between the two camps. It's just fun to see those two sides yellow at like that from like that, those two high degrees. I mean, part of me does want the 49ers to win just for that chaos, right? Like, just to see, like, Brock Purdy winning Super Bowl versus Patrick Mahomes, like, would be...
It would be
absolutely amazing.
I mean, ultimately, the 49ers losing that Ravens game in the regular season robbed us of some of the greatest discourse of all time. You know, Purdy winning MVP or whatever.
He probably wins MVP if that doesn't happen, for sure.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I think he was minus 200 before that game, and then Lamar went to like -1,000 after that game or something.
They showed
like
all the votes. Who did he finish second?
Oh, I'm sure he did. NFL MVP ranked choice.
I saw Myles Garrett got one vote.
Wow. All right.
Well, here it is right here. Dak was second, actually. My bad. Purdy finished fourth.
Really?
Dak finished second. I mean, it wasn't close. Like, obviously, Lamar won in a landslide.
Lamar won, yeah.
But, yeah, Dak was second. CMC was third, then Purdy, then Josh Allen.
What do you think about Matthew Stafford got two votes. Good. He deserves that, I think. Yeah. Do you like the ranked choice voting? I do like the ranked choice voting.
I don't care. It is what it is. These are things that, like, it's fun for these conversations are fun to have, but like I don't get invested into them to the degree like the Hall of Fame stuff. And
see,
everything.
The Hall of Fame I don't care, but MVP I do always care about. I am always into the MVP for the NFL.
Like it felt like they were always going to default like whoever was like best team, right? Like that was what was going to happen because there wasn't one statistical guy like blowing, like Purdy was the closest dude like blowing everyone out. But like there wasn't like we didn't have like that quarterback because it wasn't that kind of NFL season. People forget this NFL season was not good.
It was not very good. Yeah. Yeah, it really wasn't. I mean, Allen, it was all set up to be the year that Allen would win. And yes. Then his team just blew too many fucking games, basically, is what happened. Like his team just didn't win. Although they did end up being the two seed in the end, right?
I do think under the context of like what my criteria for MVP would be, that Allen probably should have won it. But I mean, the NFL is always going to default though. Like when you have a team like the Ravens that, you know, wins 13, 14 games and their quarterback does have a good year, like Lamar Jackson, this was the best version of Lamar Jackson we had had for sure this season. And
yes, he passed the best considering additional volume and higher degree of difficulty, right? Like Andrews gets injured, his best wide receiver is a rookie, all his running backs get injured like they do every single year. Like, yeah, I mean, Lamar was a totally deserving MVP, no doubt about it.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, Dak had the most, only one other person had a first place vote than Lamar Jackson, and it was Josh Allen, so
sure.
He had 49 to 50.
All right, so what is your card look like at this point?
I mean, I do have some Chiefs money line stuff out there. Again, why would we go again? For 5 years, we've been saying Mahomes is a dot. If you're going to give me points to Mahomes, we're just going to take him. But I do
He's 9-3 straight up as a dog.
And I have some. First of all, it's even bonkers that he's only been a dog 11 times in his career, like with the over 120 starts, like absolutely stupid. That also speaks to some things. But I do think the best bet for the, if it, like this in particular games, I do think the 49ers are pretty live in this game.
I'm not going to be shocked if the 49ers win. Yeah.
Especially because, you know, the 49ers running backs are going to have more than 6 carries in this game. That was the other part of the Ravens. Like,
yeah, that was so bizarre.
Like, they turned it into a drop back Lamar game. That's the other part of the discourse for Lamar is, like, you see, like, they tried to do the quarterback thing, and, like, Lamar couldn't get it done. And, like, just damn it, we got to live through this shit again.
Yeah.
That's why I wanted it to get over the hump finally. But I do think the best bet, I think, is a little 6-point tease here where you take the Chiefs to +7.5 or +8, depending what book they are, and you take this game down to 41.5 or 41, depending where it is, and you can take the over that way. I think that's probably my favorite way to play the game. And then just like I'm going to play a lot of live stuff in this game. Obviously, it's our last live football game. Live betting, to the people that don't understand, like beating like full game totals is kind of like blackjack, right? Like even if you're good at it.
Yes.
It's kind of like the way I equate it. Like you're just not going to have a huge long-term success playing full game NFL lines, but the live betting and live game player props are like, man, they're still such exploitable edges. You can win so much in that capacity. So I'll be on top of things there, be on some player prop stuff early. If anyone can be non-quarterback can win this, right? Like, are you like, I'm still throwing something in on Debo, man.
Yeah,
I'm
Debo. Debo is universally he's probably, it's probably the best Super Bowl MVP bet since I've been doing this for a job. Like in terms
of CMC and Debo, I think are both like when you talk about like the context of the 49ers win this game, you could have it where if Purdy only throws one touchdown, it's to that player. And that other player also has one rushing touchdown or makes play. Don't forget too, Debo returns kickoffs for the 49ers. And I know it's like a super long stretch, but if we're talking like to win a Super Bowl MVP, that's a non-quarterback, we need one of these goofy ass plays. And like if Debo runs a kickoff back for a touchdown, right? Like that's something that could swing it. So yeah, I like Debo as like the long shot play.
Yeah, I mean that's probably my favorite bet. Debo MVP, Mahomes over 4.5 rushing attempts is
Yeah.
That one's really good. But Clyde Edwards-Helaire over 5.5 receiving yards. So just to break it down, he plays about 20 snaps per game. He runs about 10 routes per game. He averages 8.6 yards per reception for his career. He's got 4 targets in the playoffs. He's got at least 1 reception in every playoff game. McKinnon is very unlikely to play. Yeah. Clyde Edwards-Helaire over 5.5 receiving yards. And this one's probably bet up, but I think the Noah Gray stuff, the Noah Gray and the Kyle Spellcheck stuff are two little side props that I like as well.
Yeah, I mean, Noah Gray has been over 2 catches, I think, in 4 of his past 6 games. Like he's playing, their Chiefs are playing a lot of 12 personnel, a lot more than they did. Obviously, I don't think getting Sky Moore back is going to take that. I think they're going to keep continuing to run a lot of that. So you got a good shot to get that 1.5 receptions for sure from Noah Gray.
Yeah,
I love the Mahomes rushing stuff. Do you think McKinnon plays though?
I don't think McKinnon plays. I do think Sky Moore is going to be activated though. It sounds like they are going to activate
Tony's
him,
definitely
but
not going to play. Like they're not. I think they're done with him.
Dude, if we show up on Sunday and Kadarius Toney is active, I'm going to be like trying to. I'm just. I don't. I'm not. I can't handle that. I can't handle Toney being involved in the Super Bowl.
I mean,
I know.
This qualifies as a Richie James revenge game, right?
Oh, yes, completely. Yeah, why would it not qualify as a revenge game? Richie James went 10 for 190 and 1 for the 49ers in a game where Debo and Ayuk were both banged up and they won.
That was
and
the
then they
COVID
just
game. It was a COVID game.
That's right. Yeah, it was
the, all
and then
there
they
was,
just forgot
all there
about
was,
him.
Jennings was out, everyone was out. It was a COVID game, and yeah, Richie James balled his face off.
Yeah.
I thought the Chiefs, especially over the back half of the year when they did, like when they lost Sky Moore and they tried to make the Tony thing happen, but he just never get on the field. I actually thought Richie James would be a part of their offense, and it just never happened.
Same.
Never
Yeah.
happened. Because he can play a little wide receiver, like actual wide receiver. The Chiefs don't have a lot of those guys.
I'm playing a lot of him in showdown. I think obviously he does the kick and punt returns, so you get a little bit of edge of him there, but he should run, 12 routes or something like that. And I don't know. Valdez Scantling is the one who if MBS has a good game, it swings things to such a degree because obviously MBS can get open. It's not
yeah,
really
fast.
ever been
The
his
dude
problem.
Is fast. The dude can run fast. That's what we know.
Yeah.
No, it's fun, man. Yeah. Listen, if you want to check out this game in like super detail, it is free on the website. I went like into the weeds. I went super into the weeds because it was the last game of the year. Like I'm apt to do. So definitely go check that out. If you can't take any more, if you're still hungry for more Super Bowl content.
I'm sure, dude, people love the Super Bowl. They absolutely love it. So I bet they probably will. Yeah, I bet we'll get some extra clicks there.
The other thing too is funny, we had talked about that Ravens game was Warren got absolutely dragged for doing that ref angle. And then like
oh, yeah.
Everyone screamed from the mountaintop of like what happened. Taylor Swift's in the Super Bowl.
Dude, it's one of those things where I really hope it's completely rigged. I absolutely like I want it to be
out.
Rigged. Yeah, give them every call. Have a button that Taylor Swift presses up there to get a flag. Like I don't care. I would love for the Chiefs to win a Super Bowl with Taylor Swift cheering on in the press box. Like that's a dream come true to me.
I think this is going to be a great game though. I honestly do. I think it's really going to be a good football game.
Yeah. I think, oh, well, it's going to be an awesome football game. These are two teams with like really interesting matchups. Obviously this is a Super Bowl rematch. But Purdy hits that throw to Manny Sanders. You know what I'm saying? Like Jimmy G could have 100 chances to make that throw. He's never making it. Purdy's
That's
making
the other
that
thing,
throw.
Too, is if the 49ers win this game, and I'm excited to see kind of what happens with this transit, because the Chiefs are in a transitional stage that people haven't realized, like this, what's going to happen after this year, especially if Kelsey retires. But like if the 49ers win this game and the Chiefs continue, Mahomes continues on this, like this just demonic, tear. He's the next Brady. I mean, them winning this game could be like one of these new like Super Bowl rivalries, like where we see these two teams periodically play. Maybe they play in more than three Super Bowls together, right? Like we didn't really have that a little bit. Like we had that Brady had the Giants twice and lost both of those games, but like the Giants kind of got there the second time in 2011, like kind of people kind of almost thought accidental, and like that was that version of the Patriots team that was like when Edelman was playing like defensive back. Too. It was like kind of like they were trying to figure Gronk was hurt. They're just trying to figure some shit out with like duct tape and bubble gum. But this could be kind of like a big picture rivalry. These have been, if you look at like just like wins and like playoff wins and where teams have been playing in championship games the last 5-6 years, like these have been the two teams.
These are the two teams. Yeah.
So, I mean, it'd be interesting to see if we can get like a high stakes rivalry going.
I hope so. Yeah, because look, no disrespect intended, but Bills Chiefs has been pretty one-sided So
you
I,
gotta
you
be
really
you can't have a rivalry unless you beat the other team in the postseason, and that's like what we have Bills Chiefs, and that's currently what we have with, you know, this Chiefs Niners if we want it to be a pseudo rivalry.
I guess Bengals Chiefs is probably the best. It's just that everyone forgot about the Bengals because Burrow got hurt
This
year,
year was
but
just thrown out the window for the Bengals.
Yeah. All right, man, we'll be back soon. You know, we'll be talking about Malik Washington and Brendan Rice and Jatavion Sanders and all of the incoming prospects here pretty soon. I'm really looking forward to that. Reeves, man, we will not go gentle into the good night. We will be back soon. Everyone, make sure you're checking out the stuff over at Sharp Football, and we'll be back with some dynasty content here very soon.